الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome back to another episode on the Silsila, The Early Echo. And once again, we have a beautiful topic of discussion, which is one of those topics that are near and dear to the hearts of every Ashq Rasul, every devotee and lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before I share what the topic is, let's recall the beautiful hadith, Niyatul Mu'mini خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِهِ. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make some good intentions. That, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm watching, I'm listening to this program, the Silsina on Madani channel, for your ridha, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well. See, this is also so important. I want you to think about it. That if I learn something, it's in my heart, in my mind, but I don't translate it into action, then how am I going to benefit from that? There's an Arabic proverb that says, Al-ilmu bila amalin kashajari bila thamarin. That knowledge without practicing upon it is like a fruitless tree, a tree that has no fruits. Now, we all want to benefit from the tree and enjoy the delicious apples and fruits of the tree. If they are nothing, then we get nothing. So if we truly want to taste the sweetness of our knowledge, it comes in practicing upon that. But practice for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't practice to show the people, hey, I know, I have knowledge about this. But don't practice to make the people happy. Make Allah happy. Make Rasulullah happy. Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Furthermore, don't just keep it to yourself. What a Muslim likes for himself, he likes for his fellow Muslim as well. So, I like to do good deeds, I like to practice sunnah, I like to do these things which will, inshallah ta'ala, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, earn me Jannah. I should also like that for fellow Muslims, whether I know them, whether I don't. And so, it is my duty, my responsibility to also convey this message to others. I learned something on Madani channel, I learned something from one of the booklets, like the weekly booklet, the Mahnama, monthly Faizani Medina magazine, or maybe a speech, a bayan, a discourse from Dawud Sami Ijtima, or wherever. So I learnt it, I understood it, I practiced upon it, share it. Share it with your family, share it with your friends, share it with the Muslims at large. Because whoever you shared it with, 100 people, from the 100 people, 5 people are acting upon it, are acting upon what you shared. So all those people that are acting upon it, their sawab is coming to you. When they perform that good deed that you shared, you're also getting sawab without any reduction in their sawab. And if one person from there taught that to somebody else, another Muslim, then whoever is taught thereafter also, when they practice, you also get sawab, even if you forgot to practice upon it. So it's like a recurring sawab, even after you're passing away. So be a wise investor and invest while we can in this short life. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, there are many wonderful, beautiful, amazing bounties, blessings, benefits for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amounts of Durood-e Pak, salawat, salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful master, the beloved of Allah, the last prophet of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that the person who recites 50 times Durood Sharif, salawat, salutations, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a summary of hadith, that I will shake hands with that person on the day of judgment. And you just have to ponder over this, that my dirty, sinful hands touching the pure hands of the beloved of Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah. What a great bounty that will be for a person. If we want that, we know what to do. Instead of wasting away our short lives in all these temporary and superficial luxuries and entertainments, in useless activities, unnecessary conversations that have no benefit largely in this world, the qabr or the akhirah. I need to make my mind, my mindset, that every day of my life, I need to try and recite some amount of Quran-e-Pak, Durood-e-Pak, Istighfar, the Dhikrullah, seeking knowledge of Deen, because this will help me in the grave and hereafter. I need to follow the injunctions and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are contained in the glorious Quran. I need to practice the best lifestyle, which is the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to get the max out of this short life. That's the wise person. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we're talking about a topic that, you know, is, as I mentioned, very close to our heart. Don't we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Won't we sacrifice our love? Won't we sacrifice the love that we have for others? Won't we sacrifice our lives for the honor and the respect of the beloved of Allah, the last prophet of Allah? Of course we would. Any loyal slave to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will do this. Somebody who's disloyal, he won't think about it. I mean, he won't worry about it. So he won't have that share. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is distributing his bounties and blessings and mercies, because Allah is the one who gives bounties, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who distributes. إِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمْ وَاللَّهُ يُعْطِي. So if I also want to receive some of those blessings and bounties of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have to be loyal to him. I have to be loyal to Allah Azza wa Jal. Am I loyal? Really? Truly? I'm going to be judged on the day of judgment. I'm not there to judge you, you're not there to judge me. We are there to judge ourselves. Judge yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself serious questions. Am I truly loyal to my Allah above every other person, above every other thing? First, number one, I'm a Muslim. Am I truly obedient to my Allah? Am I loyal to my Allah? Am I obedient and loyal to my master, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then comes everybody else. If I'm not, I'm heading towards trouble. I'd rather change now before it's too late. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, you know, Islam, the Quran, the Sahaba Ikram, the Ahlul Bayt, the Awliyaullah. One of the factors that you will notice throughout their teachings, throughout their writings, throughout their discourses and sermons, is they always praise the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are countless virtues actually, and blessings of reciting Durood-e-Pak, reciting the praises, the Na'at Sharif of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have Hamd. Hamd means, is exclusive to praises of Allah Azza wa Jal. There's a word that we use for general, whether it's Hamd or it's Na'at or anything else, and that is called Kalam. Kalam means a piece of writing. It can be a Hamd, it can be a Kalam, etc. So Hamd, when we say this is a hamd, then it means exclusively this is the praises of Allah Azza wa Jal. Na'at Sharif is exclusively praises of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you have munajat, Munajat is dua. Like we say, Ya Ilahi Rahamna Farma Mustafa Ke Waaste, Ya Ilahi Har Jaga. That famous couplet. So like this, when you are asking and you are making dua, that's called Munajat. Hamd Sharif, exclusively praise of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naat Sharif, exclusively praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Munajat is dua. Then you have Mankabat. Mankabat is the praises of the pious people. Sahaba ikram, Ahlul Bayt, Awliya Allah. And then you have Nasheed, Nazam, Nasheed. And that is poetry in praise of anything, maybe some item. Maybe a person is praising a car. A person is praising a tree. How beautiful is this tree? How beautiful is this palace? It will fall in that category of general poetry or nasheed and nazam. Subhanallah. So by praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, we can praise as much as we can or as much as we want to. If every single human being and jinn had to praise, had to recite the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the beloved of Allah, then the pens will break, the ink will run out, and the words will come to an end. But the amount of salatu salam, the amount of praises upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will continue, and our praises will never be enough. The oceans can turn into ink, and every single tree can turn into a pen. Those trees will finish, those pens will finish, the ocean will finish, the ink will finish, our words will come to an end. But the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won't come to an end, can't come to an end. Subhanallah. Because Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself praises his beloved in the Quran. You know, the ayat al-durud, Allah himself send salatu salam, durood sharif to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And doesn't just send durood sharif, and doesn't just make his angels send durood sharif. How many angels? Do we know when Allah is sending? Is it once a day, twice a day, 100,000 times a day, a million, a billion, a trillion times a day? When? We don't have the details. And how many angels are sending? 10, 20, 1,000, million? Trillion, billion, subhanallah. Allah is telling you and me in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 56, part 22. The famous, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم صلاة وسلاما عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله. Allah is telling us very clearly, yeah, there is no shak, there is no doubt, undoubtedly, definitely, indeed, there is an emphasis here, ta'keed, indeed, Allah and His angels send blessings on the conveyor of the unseen news. That is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O believers, you too, send blessings and abundant salutations upon him. Yeah, we're not asked. It's not a request. Sallu. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu. These are imperative commands. So that person who knows the Arabic language will tell you this is an imperative command, an order. In order, you must send blessings with sallimu taslima. These two words, sallimu taslima, come from the same root word. But here is therefore emphasis for excessiveness. And so the translation, and send abundant durud-e paak, salutations upon him, upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Am I doing this? Allah is ordering you, ordering me. Allah is sending Durood Sharif. We don't know when, we don't know how often, we don't know how much, and His pure angels, we don't know how many of them. So it could be all the time, every time, any time, according to our understanding, we don't know. Allahu Rasuluhu A'lam, Allah and His Rasul knows best. But we do know that Allah is ordering you and me to send as much as we can, an abundant amount of Durood-e Pak. Am I doing that? Because you see, Durood Sharif now, it's not just praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just sending salam to him and salutations, but every time you are reciting, you are also making the dhikr of Allah. Just now we recited the Durood Sharif, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. We started with which word? Allah, Allahumma. We started with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are making the dhikr of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad. So the dhikr of Allah is there as well. And we are praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We draw closer that love, that ishq and mahabba and mawadda, that attachment and connection to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets strengthened. Of course, that's not the only way. That's one of the ways. One of the major ways of developing your relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to send an abundant amount of Durood-e Pak, Naat Sharif, praises of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, practicing his sunnah, obeying him, establishing the 5 times salah, doing good, refraining from evil. What the Rasul gives us, we must take it without question. Who am I to question? Who are you to question? Even if you have a PhD, does that give you permission to question Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where did you find this permission from? Did you give yourself permission? Or the desires of certain people, because of that you gave yourself permission? Or you took their permission? Who are they? Who are you? Who are we? You know who are we? You know who we are? We are slaves of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's our reality. We are slaves of our creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a slave doesn't get to question the master. The master in this case knows better than you and I, and knows what is better for you and I. He only wants, looks towards my welfare and your welfare, my safety and your safety. He always thought about us. He always thought about us from the time he was born, even on the day of judgment. He's going to be our shafi'. He's going to be our intercessor, our helper, our assister. He's going to be there to help us. He always thought about us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did a qurbani, a sacrifice on behalf of the ummah, of you and me. Always remember us in du'as. Do I remember him? How often do I remember him? If you are practicing the sunnah for the pleasure of Allah and his Rasul, you are remembering the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you are obeying what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded, then you are remembering him. If you convey his message to others, as he said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, that convey on my behalf, even if it is one verse, one statement, by doing that. If I'm doing that, I'm remembering him, I'm obeying him, I'm loyal to him. So we have to decide, I have to decide, who do I want to be loyal to? My creator and my beloved, or the desires of certain people who have a certain amount of power in this limited power in this short life? And I'm going to return to Allah, and I'm going to be questioned, and I'm going to be accountable for everything I did, everything, every plan I plotted, and every plot I planned. I'm going to be accountable, every atom. We need our salah, don't need our salah. Who's there to question us? We do good, we practice sunnah, we don't practice sunnah. We work. Some people work with the enemies of Islam, knowingly or unknowingly. Wait till you are questioned on the day of judgment when you're going to be alone, and those helpers, those people of influence are going to be far away from you. Nobody to help you there. And that starts with the first stage of the hereafter, the grave. When you see that moment, you see the angel of death, game over. Nobody's going to help you. Yes, if you remembered Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you remembered and you followed the Sahaba ikram, the Awliya Allah, the Ahlul Bayt, all of this is going to help at the time of death, in the grave, and on the day of judgment as well. through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this verse of Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 56, Allah is clearly telling us, informing us, that He sends Durood-e Pak and Salat, and the angels do so to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a clear praise and na'at sharif of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah continuously sends mercies upon His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the angels make dua of mercy for him. In this verse, the believers are commanded to send salat and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I mentioned, commanded, ordered, not asked, not requested, an order from the Creator. And we are those who are loyal, labbaik. My eyes are closed, my ears are closed. We are not there to debate and try to find some scientific ruling and some scientific methodology and proof. No, we accept, we believe in Allah without any proof. We believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without any proof. Okay, we also come to know that if there is an action which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His angels perform, and which the believers also have been commanded to perform, then it is only and only sending Durood-e Pak, salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine that, you know, there's no comparison at all. Allah is Allah. He's Al-Khaliq, He's the Creator. We are just the normal slaves, sinners. But just think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending Durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The pure angels who never ever disobey Allah azza wa jal. They are sending Durood, and I'm also sending Durood. They are sending Durood. And me, the sinner, is also sending Durood. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Let's send Durood Sharif once more. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salamun alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The entire glorious Quran is the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The whole Quran. And it mentions the virtues and blessings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of his specialities as well. You know, we will be hearing about, and we always hear about, the qualities, specialities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted, has bestowed upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the first thing to be created. His nur, His light. This is why we say He's Nurullah, light of Allah azza wa jalla. He is the first, very first thing that Allah Azza wa Jalla created. And if you go to the Ahadith, then that Nur, that light, Nur Muhammadi as it is called, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was further divided into different portions, and the rest of creation was created. Allahu Akbar. It's there. So some exclusivities are there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not possess a shadow. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a fly did not sit on his pure body. A fly is going to look for the place that is unclean, dirty, filthy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most cleanest and purest in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A fly didn't sit on his blessed body. And his perspiration was a natural fragrance. He was human, but his reality was nur. So he was Nuri Bashar, human being indeed, but not your average normal human being. He was a lightful or a Nuri, a human being whose originality is Nur, is light. And me and you, we have everyday sinners with our huge amounts of shortcomings and defects. He had no defects, absolutely sinless, absolutely incapable of committing sins. No defect, absolutely perfect. If you want to see, if you want to witness, if you want to understand that there is a perfect, all-round perfect creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. no doubt in that. Whoever doubts, there is a veil over his eyes, there is a veil over their ears and over their minds and hearts. Allah lift that veil, if not, it's very unfortunate for them. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want you to learn a very short dua, an appeal that we make to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulallahi, unzur halana. Ya Habib Allahi, isma' qalana. Innani fi bahri hammin mughraqun. Khud yadi, sahillana ashkalana. You heard of this many a times. Make it in your du'as, include it there. Because you're asking the Prophet to look towards your circumstance, your situation that you are in. You are asking him to listen to your plea, that you are drowning in this world of confusion and mischief and problems and difficulties. You're asking, Ya Rasulullah, hold my hand and take me out of all these problems. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful du'a. So yes, the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angels are doing it. Our Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal is doing it. Every single believer is doing it. Don't you know? Even if I forget to recite Durood Sharif, I'm reading my Salah. In your Salah, we are reading, we are reciting Salat Ibrahimi, Durood Ibrahimi. In that you are making Salam, you are praising, you are sending salutations, praises to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Nabi Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the family of them as well. So I am sending, even at-tahiyyat, tashahud, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In your tashahud, you are sending direct salam, assalamu alayka. How I am addressing you as the viewer out there. So you are addressing directly to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is hearing you, who is observing you, who knows everything about you, and who replies to your salam. You praise Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you remember him. You know, there's a beautiful saying in Arabic that man ahabba shay'an akthara dhikrah. That the thing that you love a lot, you mention it a lot. You make it dhikr and remembrance of it a lot. We love our Allah subhanahu wa. We love our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love our Islam, our Quran, the Sunnah. This is what you'll hear from the true believers, their tongues. You know, when you hear about all these other things that have no real benefit in dunya and akhirah, when you're with them, you'll hear about Allah subhanahu wa says this in the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this in the hadith. This is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the practice of the sahaba ikram, the ahlul bayt, awliya Allah. These are the teachings of Islam, the teachings of the deen. That's beautiful. Because all of those things is going to shape the way for you and I towards Jannah out of the mercy of Allahu Jalla Jalaluhu. We are not going to reach Jannah because of our good deeds. It doesn't happen like that. It won't happen like that. It doesn't mean I should stop doing good deeds. I need to do as much as I can. I need to invest in this short life because that's a currency of the hereafter, your good deeds, the sawab. So I need to do it because I've been commanded by Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do good deeds. Establish our salah, pay your zakah, go for hajj, fast in Ramadan. I've been ordered to do that. I've got no choice. There are certain things, there is no choice. And if a person wants to force a choice, like, nah, I really need to read salah, or I'm just lazy, and okay, if I get one salah for the day, or if I get Jumu'ah, I'm fine. Wait till the angel of death comes, and then the reality sets in. But it'll be too late. It's your choice, it's my choice. Right? Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coming back. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, there were people who used to say, Ra'ina ya Rasulullah. Now, amongst the Sahaba fraternity, the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they would say this, They would mean that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like, give us some time to understand what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was training them and teaching them. So they would say, Ya Ra'ina Ya Rasulullah, please give us a little bit of time to absorb what you have said, understand it. Give us some time to understand it properly. But the same Ra'ina, this wording, this is mentioned in the Quran actually. This wording Ra'ina amongst the non-Muslims was used as a form of disrespect. One side was used in the sense that, Ya Rasulullah, give us some time to understand what you are saying properly, your blessed speech properly. But on the other side, amongst the non-Muslim fraternity, they used to use this term Ra'ina as a form of disrespecting somebody. And then when they would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to hear, okay, you know, the Sahaba, the Muslims are saying Ra'ina, so we can also say Ra'ina. But they would say it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with ill intent, with the intention of disrespecting Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what they used to do. Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was familiar with this understanding amongst the non-Muslim fraternity that Ra'ina amongst them means something else, something of disrespect. You want to disrespect somebody. So once he heard a non-Muslim saying this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, oh enemy of Allah, may the curse of Allah be upon you. If I hear you saying this word, or if I hear anybody saying this word again, then they are in trouble. The non-Muslims, they said, you are angry at us? But the Muslims also use this terminology. The Sahaba Ikram also saying, Ra'ina Ya Rasulullah. And he radiallahu anhu became upset and went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he arrived in the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the verse was revealed in which it was prohibited to say Ra'ina. He just arrived to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then wahyi came, the revelation came of that verse where there was a prohibition to say Ra'ina, and the command was to use another synonym, Unzurna was given. Unzurna Ya Rasulullah, look towards us Ya Rasulullah, give us some attention Ya Rasulullah, give us some time to absorb what you are saying Ya Rasulullah. So Ra'ina Ya Rasulullah was replaced by something like Unzurna Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's go to that verse that was revealed, Suratul Baqarah, verse 104. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la taqulu ra'ina wa qulu dhurna wasma'u. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O believers, do not say to the Prophet Muhammad ra'ina and submit as so, unzurna, meaning that please grant us your attention so we understand correctly. And O Muslims, listen attentively to his discourse from the beginning. In Suratul Jinan, which is one of the authentic commentaries of the Quran in this day and age, it's mentioned about this verse. To respect and honor Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to maintain due etiquette in his court is fard. It is absolutely compulsory, non-negotiable. And it is prohibited to use the word in which there is the slightest possibility of disrespect, like Ra'ina. Those words which have two meanings, keep this in mind, those words which have two meanings, both good and evil, and the mind also goes towards the evil meaning when that word is spoken, then such a word should not be used either for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah himself is teaching us etiquettes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's court, his beloved's court, and mentions the commands pertaining to respect Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The verse also indicates the fact that showing disrespect in the courts of the Noble Prophet is kufr. And kufr means disbelief. That if a person has to disrespect any Prophet of Allah, iman is gone. To insult any Prophet of Allah, to lay blame, to call any Prophet of Allah to mock them, insult them, to disrespect them, dishonor them. Who are you and I? We are the average, everyday sinners. And we have the audacity to lay any kind of blame, to any kind of indirect or direct mockery and insult against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or any of the Prophets of Allah alayhi wa sallam. That person's iman is gone, and perhaps he or she wouldn't even realize it. They would realize when the angel of death comes that they had lost the iman actually because of disrespecting, because of the wastaqi rasul and insulting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They lost the iman and they didn't know, but at the time of death, when the angel of death came, it's all angels of punishment. Then the realization will set in, alas, too late. Always respect Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always praise him. Follow him. That's the teaching of the Quran. The Kalamullah. The words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are his words. Subhanallah azza wa jal. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, before the birth of my ummah, when my ummah was still in the form of clay, they were presented to me in their forms, just as they were presented to Nabi Adam alayhi salam. And I was given knowledge who will embrace iman upon me and who will commit kufr. When this news reached to the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, they mockingly said that Muhammad, he assumes and presumes that he knows who will bring iman on him and who will commit disbelief, kufr. From those people who are not even yet born. He knows it already. Yet we live with him and he does not recognize us. This was coming from the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. After saying this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam steps onto his mimbar sharif, the pulpit. And after praising Allah, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is the state of those people who object to my knowledge, all of that which will occur from now until the day of judgment, nothing from it is such that you ask me about it and I'm unable to tell you about it. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Hudhafa, Sahmi radiallahu anhu, stood up and said, he asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is my father? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Hudhafa. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa of Islam, he stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are pleased with Allah as our Lord, Islam as our religion, the Quran as our leader and guide, and with you as our Nabi, with you as our Prophet. We seek your pardon. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will you refrain? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then descended from the mimbar. Upon this, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the following verse. In Surah Ali Imran, verse 179. Translation from Ganjul Iman. Listen carefully. Allah will not leave the Muslims in that state in which you are now until He separates the impure from the pure. And it does not befit the dignity of Allah to give you, O common people, knowledge of the unseen. Yes, Allah chooses from His messengers whom He wills to grant the knowledge of the unseen. Therefore, believe in Allah and His messengers. And if you believe and do good deeds, So, for you is great reward. Surah Ali Imran, verse 179. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, have you seen how Allah praises Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, how the Quran is teaching us, how Allah azza wa jal is teaching you and I the respect that we have or must have for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Have you seen? Hakimul Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Khan Naimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has mentioned under this verse that I just quoted to you in English. One of the things that we learn is that to object to the knowledge of the unseen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to say that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have knowledge of such and such thing, is the way of the hypocrites, the way of the munafiqeen, the munafiqoon. Allah azza wa jal protect us against them. It is the duty of a Muslim to accept all of the praiseworthy qualities of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any doubt, without any hesitation. The great Mufti also says, the merciful Lord azza wa jal granted knowledge of everything that will occur until the day of judgment. Granted this to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ask me anything. No restrictions, no conditions. Ask me anything. And only the one who has complete knowledge can mention this, can say this. All of those who will bring Iman, as well as those who will not bring Iman, and those who will be hypocrites until the day of judgment, are known to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Imagine what kind of immense knowledge was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this is in no way a comparison between the knowledge of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not possible. Not possible. Why? Because Allah azza wa jal is al-khaliq. He is the supreme creator. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is part of the makhluq, part of the creation. Allah azza wa jal, nobody made him. He made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza wa jal, nobody gave him his knowledge. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his teacher and gave him knowledge. This is why we say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ummi. Nabiyul ummi. He is, that this does not mean illiterate. Like unlettered, was not able to write and read. That doesn't make sense. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there to teach the Quran, which he had knowledge of the past and the future as well. He was the supreme teacher of the Sahaba, and he knew so many secrets, scientific secrets at that time, historical secrets, which today science, many of that has exposed. But he knew all of these things. Why? Because he was given this knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so ummi means not illiterate, not unable to write and read. Some people, because of their lack of understanding from the text, they translate like this, but of course that is incorrect. The correct translation or interpretation of the word ummi is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have any human teacher. He was not taught by any human being. He was taught by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We used to send that the teaching, the revelation via the angel Jibreel Amin alayhi salam. Jibreel Amin alayhi salam wasn't the teacher as well, but he was actually the messenger to bring the message and the teaching from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah azza wa jal, he is a teacher of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. The residents of Al-Madinatul Munawwarah, Zadahullahu sharafu wa ta'zeema. You know, they would irrigate their fields because they were an agrarian people. They were farmers. They were into agriculture, farming. So they would irrigate their fields with water, of course. And that water used to come from the mountains. So water is going to flow from higher ground to lower ground. And Ansari is a resident of Madina Sharif, once argued with Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu an over who will irrigate their field first. This dispute was presented in the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Zubair, after irrigating your field, release the water in the direction of your neighbor. Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu an was given permission to irrigate his field first, because his field came first. Despite this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also instructed him to favor his neighbor as well. However, the Ansari found this decision disagreeable and said, Zubair is the son of your paternal auntie. So he thought that maybe some favoritism. Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu anhu had been instructed to favor the Ansari in the decision. However, the Ansari did not value this. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu anhu to stop the water after irrigating his field. The following verse was revealed on this occasion. Translation from Kanzul Iman, Suratul Nisa, verse 65. Say, O beloved, by oath of your Lord, they will not be Muslims until they take you as a judge for the disputes between them. And whatever you have then decided, they should not have any resistance to it within their hearts, and they must accept it wholeheartedly. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. Allah is saying, oh my beloved, you must be the judge. What you decide, they have to accept it. Their heart has to accept it. They can't have any hesitation, any resistance. They must be labbaik wa sa'daik. We have listened, we have obeyed. That's the true believer. That's the obedient believer. That's the loyal believer. Am I loyal? Am I obedient? What may Allah is commanding me, I have to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Am I doing that? The Quran mentions, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Then whoever has obeyed the Rasul, so definitely he has obeyed Allah. So I have to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if I truly want to obey Allah, because there's no obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I'm disobedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I need to get that into my mind. I need to think about that. Which direction am I heading in? So this verse that I quoted you, Suratul Nisa, verse 65. In Tafsir Suratul Jinan, it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned himself being the Lord to his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that, O beloved, by your Lord, such is the grand status of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes himself known through his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the praise that is there. Look at the honor that Allah azza wa jalla is showing you and I. The respect and the reverence that you must have for his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Almighty made it fard to accept the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and cemented his statement by taking an oath by him being the Lord. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu declared that the one who denies the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a disbeliever, it is necessary to accept the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with one's heart and soul. And there must be no kind of reluctance regarding this in a person's heart. So it is mentioned at the end of the verse that they should not have any resistance to it within their hearts. And they must accept it wholeheartedly. No question asked. No issue mentioned. My Rasul said it, Labbaik. I am better off listening to my Allah and my Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam than listening to A, B, C and D. We are looking towards the pleasure of Allah. Is my Allah happy with me? And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is looking towards His beloved's pleasure. So if the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not pleased with us, not happy with us, what will happen to us? How will Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala be pleased with me and you if the beloved Rasul, the beloved of Allah, is not happy with us? Something to think about. Have I established my 5 times salah? Have I established my fasting in Ramadan? Have I practiced the sunnah? Am I practicing the sunnah? So if you are thinking, where can I get motivation for these things? When I find myself in such environments, such circumstances, where it is difficult to practice, become the first rain of the first drop of the rainfall. Don't wait for the change. It may never happen. Become the change and create that change in your environment and establish your 5 times salah of the pleasure of Allah to fulfill His commands. Fast in Ramadan, practice sunnah, read the Quran. Seek knowledge of Deen. Dawud Islam is there to offer you all of this, and in a simple way to help train us. If you are following and filling nek a'mal, pious deeds every day, then every day of your life you are giving yourself a reminder. You are reminding yourself of your duties and rights as a Muslim, about that you need to be loyal to Allah and His Rasul. You need to be obedient to them, every day you're reminding yourself. Yes, there are many Muslims out there that have derailed. Once a person is derailed, they are off the tracks. And they just think and they feel that what they're doing is right, is good, according to their limited understanding. According to the desires of the people, until the angel of death comes. Let's be wise. Let's invest in the hereafter. Let's follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's continuously praise Him as much as we can. Because that will also help us in this world, in the grave and in the hereafter as well. Insha'Allah ta'ala. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah.